continue what I've been discussing, Courage to Conquer. We ended last time speaking about what I titled The Spirit of the Seed, you know. And that's where I'm going to continue from today, The Spirit of the Seed. And today I'm going to talk about the charge to Joshua, all right? Let's just begin from where we read last time, the book of John chapter 12. I'm going to read from verse 20 in my New American Standard Bible. It says, "Now there were certain Greeks amongst those who were going to worship at the feast. These therefore came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.' Philip came and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip came and they told Jesus. And without answering them," is verse 23, specifically about the issue, "the Lord began to speak. And he said, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified.' Verse 24, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it. And he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Or if any man desires to serve me, what he needs to do is to start by following me. And where I am, there shall my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." In verse 27, he began to say, "Now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say because of the troubling of my soul? Shall I begin to pray and say, 'Father, save me from this hour?' But for this purpose, I came to this hour." In 28, he says, "Father, glorify thy name." There came therefore a voice out of heaven. And that voice said, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." That is, there are two sides to my glorifying my name. You have experienced the first part. And having gone through what you're about to go through, you will experience the second part of glory. Now, please follow what we are saying here. Talking about the spirit of the seed, we said that last time. I want to just continue. If you are not around, I advise very seriously that you get the message. I don't have all the time to go back over everything that we said, but I'll just review a bit. This summary of what we said last time, that anything that has the right spirit is indestructible. I said to us that Isaac was a body that God gave to the spirit of faith, the spirit of the faith of Abraham. That is, the essence of the existence of Isaac was the spirit of faith that Abraham had. That is the faith of Abraham. Now, that is, in life, outward things are what the Bible calls the grain, the seed. But there is a substance which is spiritual, which is eternal, which is inside. And that is what is called the spirit of that thing. And I said that substance, which is eternal, cannot be destroyed. We gave the example of Job, that even though this grain outward, the seed outward was destroyed, but because the heart, all right, of Job was right with God, the spirit of what he did, he may have been mistaken in a few things, but the spirit of what he did was total faith in God, so much that God was able to brag about it, and he had absolutely no doubt in himself that no matter the pressure you put on Job, he will not deny me. God said to Satan, "Go ahead and test it." And of course, it was proved right. That is, Job had the spirit. So the grain outside, his prosperity, even though it was destroyed, it was not utterly destroyed. Are you getting my point? That is, the seed that was the substance. In fact, if you go and read, I don't know where I'm going to read that, but if you go and read the first Corinthians chapter 15, there was something that Paul said, all right? He said that that there are different bodies for each spirit. That is, what he was saying is that when God puts a seed in something, all right, what he does is to put a body over it. That is, Jesus said, "A body thou hast prepared for me." That Jesus came as a perfect spirit out of God himself, and God prepared a body for him. So when you remove the outward body, Paul was saying that we become clothed with another type of body. You understand my point? That is, if the spirit is there, there has to be a body. It can never be left without a body. So if one body is destroyed, another one, which is more glorious, will be prepared for it. That's just the way it is. So when you destroy the body first of Job, What happened was that God gave him one that was twice as good as the one that was taken. So we said that if you have the right spirit, all right, that when it is tested, what will happen is that it's going to return better, all right, in manifestation than before it was tested. And that period of testing is what we call the breaking. We explained that Jesus took bread at the Last Supper, all right, and he took it. I first heard T.D. Jakes preach that message, very powerful, that Jesus took bread, he took it, he blessed it. Are you getting my point? Then he broke it, then he gave it to his disciples. That there are four stages in life, therefore. There is a stage, I'm not going to go over that in detail, we talked last time. There's a date stage in which God takes you, in which you are chosen as one of his own. Then he puts a blessing upon you. We use the life of Jesus Christ as an example of that thing. That there was a blessing upon him, how God anointed the Lord Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power, and they went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. And God himself said, I have glorified my name. That was the first level of glory. Are you getting my point? Then a time came, of course, all through that period we explained that he couldn't minister to anybody outside the covenant, so much that the only people that were able to get out of his hands, they had to drag it by force out of him. He was reluctant personally to do anything about it. In fact, those two people you will see, what happened to them, that they had to have faith greater than anybody else in Israel ever had. That the people, that the widow of Nain, did not have a fragment of their faith. The man that was born blind did not have a fragment of their faith. The man that was born, that was lame beside the pool for 38 years, did not have a fragment of their faith. Are you getting my point? Yeah, they got things that were inferior to what those people got. The Syrophoenician woman was our first example. Are you getting my point? That great, Jesus said, daughter, is thy faith. And when she first came up, he said to her clearly, I can't do anything for you. All right? The woman had to, I'm not going to buy the details, like I said, drag out of him by her faith. Now, but after he was crucified, after the shell, that seed was broken, what happened was that God was able to give him to the rest of the world so that he came. And we said the sign from that John chapter 12 is that the Greeks came to him and said, we want to see Jesus. It came to the disciples. And the moment they came, it was a sign that he was about to be glorified. It was a sign that his life, listen to this, was about to be amplified. Sometimes you must watch out for that. The pressures and troubles in your life, they are the sign for you to know that you are about to be glorified. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. It's not a sign that somebody is about to end you. You are not an unbeliever. Are you getting my point? I like one thing Robert Kiyosaki said, even though he wasn't preaching the gospel. He said, every time you see economic turmoil, he said, wealth is about to change hands. Those who were poor are about to become rich. Some that were rich are about to become poor. That's just the way it is. And that's why Jesus said, anytime you see trials and tribulations outside, lift up your heads, all right? Look up, for your redemption draws near. So we said that if you have the right spirit, it can never be destroyed. I emphasized something last time to us. We must labor all the time to have the right spirit. I gave two important examples. You're walking somewhere, you're walking and walking. If you're walking with eye service, being a man pleaser, like the Bible will say, if they fire you, you've lost entirely. You will not recover anything. Because there is no seed. You understand what I mean by that? No spirit to survive that trying period. No spirit. Do you get my point? The sun is very tough. But if the sun shines upon someone that has life, it becomes green. But if it's one that is dead, it withers away. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? So when you have pressure come upon you, the Bible says pressure will always come because of the word. Go and read the story of the in Mark chapter 4 there, when talking about the parable of the sower. He explained that persecution comes by reason of the word. It is the seed planted in you that provokes the persecution. Are you getting my point? When you don't have any substance, you will wither away. But those who had their roots, all right, anchored deep, it only produces fruit in their lives. You are following what I'm saying? So when Jesus was going to be glorified, he said, I have glorified my name and I will glorify it again. You have experienced one level of glory. Don't worry about what is about to come. From there, you will launch into another level of glory. This time around, you carried all the anointing alone. I'm going to release through you a horde of men and women onto this earth that the earth has never seen a type before. They will become Jesus Christ manifested everywhere they go. So when he came back after the resurrection, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Everywhere. Before, he said, don't go to the house of the Samaritans. Not to talk about the house of the Greeks. not to talk about Africa. If you talk to Asians, I will deny you. He told his disciples straight. And those who don't understand will say, this man is so discriminatory. But that was not the issue. He understood that he didn't have the power yet to minister to those people. So he told his disciples, wait, all right, don't go there yet. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Just stay there. A time will come when this shell has been broken, then we'll have the power to reach the rest of mankind. You understand the point? That's what we said last time. Of course, I spent a long time discussing all everything I was summarizing in the last 10 minutes, all right? Last time, we spent a long time explaining it. So that's the issue. There is what? It's time of breaking before God can give you. First, you are blessed. The first thing you rejoice about, don't ever forget that we said that God gave a commandment. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. This is my interpretation of it. The first level is the level of fruitfulness. Most people, please don't be angry. Maybe because that's where my passion is. I always say Africans. But they are the ones that concern me. All right? And that's why our problems, you know, start. Most times we Africans, once we reach the level of fruitfulness, we are happy. You get my point? I was given an illustration where I went to speak today. That they gave $28 million to Southern Sudan to start government. $28 million. You know, some of our brethren Africans, they say this is a lot of money. It's a lot of money. But I said to rescue Greece in the second phase, $300 and something billion. You get my point? So you have to see, we have to release our minds and go from the level of fruitfulness and start waiting for things that have to do with what? Multiplication. And it's a commandment. And that's what I'm going today. Now, please notice something. I'm into today's message now. All right? And that's a matter of fear. I said today's message is about what did I title it? The charge to Joshua. That's what I want to talk about. The charge to who? To Joshua. Let's read two scriptures so that I can explain that thing in details. First of all, let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 21. Let me quote really quickly. There is scripture that I love to quote a lot. Revelation 21. What is burning in me, again today? I just want the believers to stop thinking small. Remember what I said? When God wants, the first sign, more like, the first sign that God has blessed you is that he changes you. He doesn't give you anything. What does he do? He changes you. He changes how you think, first of all. He changes how you behave. That's the second thing as a manifestation of a change in your thought pattern. Say, my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's how you used to be. Therefore, as a consequence, my ways are not your ways. If you start thinking in a particular way, you start behaving in that way. You know, I was having a discussion today with my wife in the house, and I said, one of the things I explained to her, that listen, sometimes when two people are disagreeing, it doesn't mean that they are in disagreement. Do you understand my point? They are just seeing the same thing from two different angles. You understand my point? One man standing here and seeing it from that angle. So this brother was, he said there's somebody he used to disagree with all the time. They talk and talk and talk. He said one day the man made a statement and he realized the difference. That is the cause of their disagreements. That their thought patterns were so different. That this man was believing God to raise him to a level. He was hoping that one day he would be able to raise his driver to that level. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. I don't know whether you get it. That is a man. In fact, one day one brother said that. Somebody said he wants to just move to the United States. He said, what is pushing you to the United States? And he said, I just want to be able to buy a brand new car and own my own house. And the guy said, please come and work for me. I will make sure eventually that happens for you. If that's your dream in life, you don't have to go to America. Are you getting my point? That a young man wakes up and what is pushing him to change geographical location is that one day too, me, I will be able to buy my car new and live in my own house. Anyway, that guy must be blind thoroughly. That's all I have to say. Because all he needs to just turn 360 degrees like this. He will see people doing it around him every day. Are you getting my point? And doing it in a far easier manner than most Americans are doing it. Do you follow my point? Now, I'm trying to bring out something here. That's my issue. That's what I'm going to say. My issue today, again, is I want people to change the way they think. you'll see something in a moment. We'll read that next. That Joshua, when Moses said to him, be bold, be courageous. We'll read in a moment. He wasn't telling that, oh boy, you two supposed shop life small. You two supposed happy. No. He was saying that you need this to fulfill your assignment in life. Because you were brought to this point. This is the purpose for which you were created. To help these people inherit the land. And if you are going to do that, you have to be bold. If you are going to do that, you have to be courageous. Are you getting my point? What I'm going to say is that I want Christians to realize something. You know, people make those, you know, I said that God's ways. Once you start thinking correctly, you start behaving differently. And that brother was arguing with the other one because he thought they were seeing the same thing. Then one day the guy expressed the height of his vision. And he realized that that was far beneath the list of his own. That's how come they can never see things from the same angle. Now, what am I saying? When you start thinking the way God wants you to think, when you start seeing what your life is about, then you will have to go and pray to God for courage. The charge to Joshua is what I'm talking about today. In fact, before you leave that, you will see that John chapter 12. That something happened there. When Jesus realized this was about to happen, he knew how difficult it would be. Go back there. John chapter 12. Just put something in that Revelation 21. Let's go back to that John chapter 12. In verse 27, he said, now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Is that the question in the prayer I'm going to pray? Is that what's going to be my solution to this troubled time that's about to come? To ask God to save me from it. He said, how can? When it is for this purpose that I came to this hour. That is, if this hour was not going to come, I would never have been born. If this hour was not going to come, are you getting my point? I would not have lived up to this particular point in time. But what I want to emphasize from there is that even the Lord Jesus himself understood that this was going to be tough. I'm saying this, that the period when we say Jesus took the bread and he broke it, that breaking is not sweet. Are you getting my point? It can be fearful. It may appear, look, what I'm saying, I'm not enjoying it. I just have to tell you the truth. It may appear like you are going to die. It may appear like everything you have labored for is about to come to an end. Let me explain something to you. Forget Jesus for a moment. Think about the disciples. They left everything and followed him. Then one day they woke up, he wasn't there anymore. Peter said, oh boy, I'm going back to fishing. Now, it's not funny. Now, listen, forget the fact that it's just 3 years. These were big boys in ministry. You must understand that when you want to talk to Jesus, then you have to talk to Peter first. People thought that Jesus was easy to approach. Go and read your Bible. It's not true. To see him was not easy. Not just the crowd. They had people around him. That's why at the point Jesus said, let the small ones come to me. The big ones, don't let them pass. You follow what I'm going to explain? Because, I mean, this to see Jesus, you have to see Peter. They said, what is the problem? Are you sure John can't pray over that? Okay, John, Andrew, go, guys, pray for that guy. If he doesn't get healed, let me know. Next. These were the powerful boys. If they went to the market, that's Peter, that's Peter. Ah, Peter, that's Peter. Peter, yeah, the disciple of Jesus. People will come and touch his garment too to see what's going. You get what I'm saying? Then suddenly, ministry came to an end. Boom. Not only did it come to an end, they just took your master and hung him. What do you think they will do to you when they catch you? So boys disappeared. Now, what am I saying? This is the kind of thing Jesus was looking at. And he said, my soul is deeply troubled. My soul is really, really, really disturbed. My soul has issues right now. Listen, it was not just about him. Think about those disciples. He was also thinking about them. The face of this man will shake. Are you getting my point? It was tough. He said, I'll run away from it. Please, this is my emphasis. I don't know how deep your own breaking will be. But a time will come when you will be afraid. And that's what I want to talk about again today. Because you must never be afraid. God is not saying that because you know I know now, the thing is fearful. Therefore, it's okay, you are afraid. What he will say that, what did I tell you to do? You were there when Pastor Banky was preaching. He said, when you are afraid, go and pray. He said, you saw what Jesus did. He began to shout, Father, glorify thy son. You are getting my point. When they were about to arrest him, he ran into the garden. And the angels kept the soldiers out until he was ready. He prayed and prayed until he conquered that fear. Are you getting my point? God does not permit us to be fearful. I said something earlier that you must understand. I said, my pressure, all right? The pressure in my heart is I want believers to start thinking. I want them to start doing what? Thinking. Big. Mighty. I was telling one brother today, and in fact, let me just drop that one into it. It's amazing, all right, that a lot of Christians don't know what's going on when it comes to the financing the gospel. And let's know what I'm trying to say. Yeah, we're discussing. He said, I don't see you here anymore. I said, oh, we're there for a while, but we had some disagreement with the people. We had to pull out and all of that. So we'll say, Oga Abego, stop the disagreement. Oh, you are such a blessing. And I said, well, actually, that the thing is not as if it was free. I knew how much we're paying. That would have overlooked it if I felt we're getting the impact, we're having the impact to justify the amount of money we're paying. I told him how much we're paying. The man opened his mouth. You were paying? I said, what did you think? He said, he thought that the messages were so good, they begged me to put it on there. I said, look at this one. Hey. Do you know a lot of Christians don't realize that? That the preacher has to pay to preach to them. I don't want to talk about financing the gospel now in details, but I want to bring out an issue. And I told him that at the time, please, I may be a bit wrong, but no, I'm not too wrong in these figures I'm about to give you. That at the time, I don't know, they may have crossed it now. TBN, I was giving him this short lecture. That TBN was paying $1 million every day to remain on air. TBN. So next time you watch television, respect to. Don't take it for granted. Those guys were blowing close to $1 million daily to bring those things to you free of charge. As much as I don't agree with some of the ways some preachers try to raise money for them, those monies are needed. When you are bleeding $1 million a day, you need anointing. You need financial anointing. Are you getting my point? Now, please, I'm going somewhere. Listen to this. I said to him, now, think about it. TBN is there. And I said, okay, what about those preachers on TBN? I said, they also pay. This $1 million I'm telling you, TBN has to gather it from the preachers who come on air. I checked what it will cost us to be on what's the name of this one? INI, Inspiration. All right? Inspiration Network. The cost they gave me, it's not too bad, amen? I just don't want to go there yet. But when you see the coverage, I know in a short while, we'll talk to them. In a short while, we'll talk to them. We'll talk to them, all right? But I was discussing with this brother. I'm going somewhere, please. I said, but they don't advertise. I said, the other networks, that 1 minute advert on ABC or NBC, these are the top American TV networks, is $1 million. 1 minute advert. So when you see Samsung show you Super AMOLED Plus for 10 seconds, they know why it's only 10 seconds. You think they don't want to keep you there for 1 minute to do? When they have to show that 10 seconds 20 times in a day, they are bleeding heavy. This money is going to the hands of NBC, ABC, CNN, Al Jazeera, all those other networks. Not one dime of that advertising money goes to the hand of Christian networks. And most corporate bodies have a policy. Not one naira on gospel networks. Religious network, that's how they cover it. MTN will pay 20 million naira like this to Big Brother Africa to show us girls who are bathing naked. But they won't give Pastor Banky one dime to preach. Never. This is a battle, I'm telling you. Listen, this world is satanic. BS companies will shell out 40 million naira for somebody to tell them we are too legit to quit. You know what I'm talking about? I don't give you 50 kobo to preach to anybody. They won't give me a dime. Forget Pastor Banky. That is, if Omega approaches them, advertise, okay, I know you are selling coke, bring it up here. They will say, no, it's a religious channel. We don't pay money there. Yet, Pepsi will pump money to have Janet Jackson remove her bra on TV. And you think this is neutral. I'm going somewhere. You know where I'm going? God doesn't want their money. That's where I'm going. He doesn't want it. Why does he want MTN's money? He wants you to get angry, push MTN out of the market, and pocket all their money if you want. That's where I'm going. Listen, let me say it on record. I don't believe what TBN and Co. are doing. Now, I'm not being critical. I'm talking about levels of glory. I don't believe that's what God wants for us Christians to do, to preach the gospel. We take 2 weeks begging people, please send money everywhere. No. I think God wants us to prosper so much that we'll have 10 TBNs. Nobody will know they spend money. That 200 of us from different continents will gather together. You say, how much? Okay, $1 million a day for this. $1 million a day for that. $5 million will be spending, filling the globe with the gospel. Nobody knows who's paying. Periodically, we just let people know that we are spending money in case they want to join. But only 200 of us will be shelling out $5 million daily. And God can do it if you and I will open our hearts to that level. Do you get the point I'm making? God can double do it. He can double do it. He can make you prosper so much that every day, please don't be afraid of what I'm about to tell you. Every day you'll be dropping $500,000 and you won't blink. Amen. In case you don't know, in a particular year, they paid Bill Gates $4 billion as what do you call it, dividends. $1 million a day, all right, is only $160 million at the end of the year. That is just about 1/6 of what Bill Gates was paid in 1 year as dividends. So listen, God, people are already doing it. So let's even forget God now. You get my point? So if human beings are doing it, who are not naming the name of Jesus Christ, you can imagine that God can double do it. You are getting what I'm saying? I saw on the Yahoo the other day, one of these American billionaires just bought himself a boat just to feel happy. $78 million. One stupid young rapping boy bought himself for his 25th or 26th birthday, all right, a plane for $40 million. It was 26. I hope you are waking up. That is, if you are that young boy and you are among the 200 I just named, that we use 5 gospel networks to drench this earth with the truth of God. Have $40 million. All right? I mean, if that boy was amongst them, what is $40 million? He used it to buy a plane on his birthday. He gave himself a birthday present. $40 million. He gave himself a birthday present. When you see the boy, I looked at him. It's obvious. God, no, besides the judge, I'm not mentioning name at least. See, this boy is not going to last. You can see him with tattoo all over his body, here and there. Yeah, there. Just come on TV, shout. Paid him money, $40 million. I'm telling you all of this so that you know that these things are already happening. That I'm not being superfluous. I'm not being wild in my imagination. When I say 200, I say how many? 200. 200 is a lot. I mean, we got like 20 from Nigeria, 20 maybe like, okay, China, there are plenty, right? So let's give China 40. You get another 40 from America. Just got like 200. And we're not going to talk. So let Pastor Mark be making noise there. We are not the noise-making people. You are getting the point I'm making? Bill Gates and Co. are pumping more than all these people we're talking about to fight leishmaniasis and malaria, which we know is not the problem on the earth. Iniquity is the problem. If you fight iniquity appropriately, I mean, if you know how much money they are spending on AIDS, if they gave that money to the gospel, HIV will run. And I'm not talking about laying on hands. So just by preaching proper sexual morality, HIV will look for candidates, no go see. Why? We will have driven all these candidates into righteousness by preaching. For the amount of money that's been invested into researching to stop that virus. Yet, listen, this is madness. You see on TV like this, you will see them promoting promiscuity, homosexuality. Then the next advert, stop AIDS now. Then the program will return in a moment. You know, so we'll return to this program in a moment. In that short moment, AIDS is killing 50 million children annually in Africa. Then they go back to the program and continue in that same program to promote promiscuity. It is not a lie when Jesus said that I am the light of the world. These people are in darkness. I hope you are following me. I said that, look, what the pressure in my mind. I want Christians to think. Stop. Listen, I'm sure you have heard me enough. You know, pray house. God, me too, I want a house. Cannot be a prayer point for you anymore. It shouldn't be. So, I remember one prayer I used to pray those days. I said, God, if I have to trek into eternity, I don't mind. But I won't see your power on this earth. No, that one is the one I can't stand. The only prayer I was telling my dad, the only prayer I used to pray to him is that, God, there's no problem. See, this poverty thing, I'm not afraid of it. I'm only begging you for one thing. Just don't give me a wife and children. Let me suffer it alone. But this gospel, I won't drop it. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I'm not talking covetousness here. We are saying that, listen, the people that are trying to hold the kingdom back, this is how it's going on. They would, through some funny policies, they starve truth of finances. They do. Listen, there are battles in the realm of the spirit, but they also manifest outwardly. The kingdoms of this earth must become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ before He can reign forever and ever. You are getting what I'm trying to explain? And He said, those that are with Him, they are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. That is, He is not there fighting battle by Himself. There are people with Him. They are doing His bidding on the earth. That's the reason why He's reigning. That's why He's called the King of Kings. He's not the King of the President of Nigeria. He means all His children are kings. When He says they are the Lord of, He's the Lord of Lords, He means the people following Him are lords. He's not the King of servants. Are you getting my point? He's not the King of idiots. He's not a king of hungry people that want to make Him king so that they can have food to eat. There's this cartoon I got for my children. I'm not even sure. I just saw my computer the other day. They show some guys, you know, they're like Bible stories. I said, whoever wrote this story, the person tried. When they wanted to make Jesus king, they show some guys who had been suffering, and then bread came free. As they began to negotiate, this guy, if he can produce this bread regularly, boys, we don't need to work again. No? The other one said, but how are we sure he will agree? He said, there's no problem. Let's make him king. No, you know, now children for story, Bible story for kids. I was watching it yesterday. I said, okay, it makes sense. That's when they came. Jesus said, you're looking for who to destroy. Jesus looked at them and said, look, all of you disappear. He said, Master, where have you? If you call me Master, there I catch you. You're following me because of free bread. Listen to me. God is not a God. That Jesus is not the king over such bread seekers. When they say He's the King of Kings, His true disciples are kings in their mentality. Like I say all the time, they're not bringing out 1 naira. I say, God, as I'm giving this 1 naira, you give me enough money to buy that tie. Then when I collect the tie, I'll sow a seed. Then to become a suit, then I'll be okay. Then, Lord God, you can go that time. They're not thinking from that perspective at all. They are looking at it and say, Coca-Cola, MTN. They won't put money in the gospel, eh? Leave them. I leave them. Say, leave them. I like one thing. There's this man. He started, you know, because of the struggles in America, that's for the black people. He started a magazine, right? His own, it was a business magazine, was dealing with Black Enterprise. That's the name of his magazine, all right? Forgotten his name now. He said that once, because how these things survive is to get adverts. Now, listen to this. These are battles, though. It's to get adverts. Mercedes-Benz in the United States refused then to advertise in the Black Enterprise, that magazine. He explained to them, with his charts and everything, how many young black people can afford Mercedes-Benz cars, and these people are not reaching them because they are not advertising in a magazine. The guy refused. So the man looked, look. He said, no problem. So he traveled to Germany. That's where I'm talking. That's where I'm going. He booked an appointment to see the big boss of Daimler-Benz in Germany. So that one, of course, they had some talk, and that man had an assignment for him to do. For him, because he was going to South Africa. You know this man, they had investigated. You know this man was coming, was on his way to South Africa. He said, oh, I heard you are going to South Africa. I said, yes. Please, I want you to check something for me when you get there. The guy said, no problem. He said, please, there is a problem with Benz in America. And that German said, there's no problem with Benz in America. And the guy said, no, there's a, he said, I said, there's no problem with Benz in America. And the man said, yes, thank you, I understand. And that was the end of the deal. By the time I got to America, there was no problem anymore with Benz advertising in America. Because what I'm saying is that the guy had gone to a high level. Say, okay, you don't want to put your advert in my magazine? No problem, I'm going to Germany. As soon as he left that man put a call through to America and said, when that black man comes, give him all the advert he wants. What am I saying? That's power. Say power. That's what I'm talking about. Time will come, we tell MTN, hey, glow, whatever it is. You don't want to put money for gospel? I'm coming. Why do the heathen rage? I'm telling you, I know what I'm saying. They will travel to another continent spiritually and say, Lord, okay, no problem. In this area, these resources these guys are controlling is our own. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. When Bill Gates collects his $4 billion in dividends, who can tell him what to do with it? Nobody. A country like the United States, if you give that $4 billion to the gospel, it's tax deductible. Nobody's going to complain. It's charity money. What am I saying? We need to get to a level where when these people don't want to play, but leave them, you will operate at a level bigger than them. And listen, what I'm saying, everything I'm saying, is for you to know that these things have been done before and greater things will still be done. Do you follow my point? But, I'm back to my message. And I needed to say all of that for you to understand where we're going. You buy a car, amen, it's good. Is it bad? It's not a testimony anymore. It was a testimony before you started listening to me. Right now, in fact, okay, you can still tell me, let me come and provide. But if you don't tell me, I won't be angry. Anoint it yourself and go. Yeah, you get my point? See, the real testimony. Look, a car is very nice. It's good to have one. All right? But sometimes our testimonies on it is... it's born out of poverty, yes. Your whole village are the first to have a car with four tires. The other guy has a Kakena Pep. So it was good for a season. But now they have started listening to me. When you compare it to where you are going, the story is not bad, though, but it will consume too much time telling it. In fact, the day you should really invite me to come and pray, that one I will come with full anointing. I said, yeah, sir, just wanted to anoint these trucks. When I come, I see 20 of them, you know? Each one of them, 20 tires, you know, those 20 wheelers. So, yeah, we entered into this haulage business in this side. We just wanted to pray and spiritually ensure it. I'll give you one whole night of prayer. I'm telling you. Say, sir, we just acquired a vehicle. Can you just come and bless it? I said, no problem. I said, no, we'll come and pick you up. And I drive to the airport. Maybe I think you park him for parking lot. I said, no, sir. You pass through security. Where are you going? That's a vehicle. It's a vehicle. That's it. And I, you know, this kind of thing, you look from one end like this. You have to turn your head to see the whole span. You will need another day. I will anoint you. Anoint your children, even if they have not been born that day. Are you getting my point? Yes. You call me, I don't mind praying. I just come to your compound, I see cars like this. What are they? Say, yeah, it's for our managers. We are distributing them across the nation. The ones in Nigeria. So these are the ones. We just say, let them take it. We just felt it would be good for you to bless them, sir, before they go. I'll be happy. And I go home that night, I'll go and dance. I'll be better. That is, if I have to pray small prayer, I'll go back home and continue the prayer. You are getting my point? Well, my message today is that we have that in sight. But in getting there, when the Greeks started looking for Jesus, at a time came, he said, my soul is troubled. a time will come you'll have to walk out of a job that you are enjoying. As you're about to leave, your soul will be what? Troubled. You have a wife, you have children. Suddenly your soul is what? It's troubled. I said, you open the word, Revelation chapter 21. It's so, listen. You know what God says? When he was describing the sons of Ephraim, he said they were armed, yet they turned back in the day of battle. Therefore, they broke my covenant. Listen, if you don't do it, there's nobody that will do. Don't think that the other people say, if I just stay here, other people will fight this kingdom battle. Listen, you are the only one fighting it. That's how I want you to think of. Because God cannot, I used to tell my wife something sometimes. I said, listen, there are decisions that when I want to make decisions. Now, this is not bragging matter. Do you follow? I've been studying the Bible actively. Actively. I don't mean I read the Bible, I be Christian. That is, no. I mean actively reading in between the lines, decoding scripture, listening to messages, day and night. Like my life depends on it since 1987. That makes it, that was 20 years, 4 years ago. That's 24 years this year. I remember when I wanted to get married. One of our sisters, Mumian, that I wasn't married yet. We were just like, Banky, how far now? She made a statement once. I can't give details now, but the thing brought tears to my eyes. She said something like, after all this work we have done on you understand my point? That is, you don't belong to yourself. You are our own. I don't know whether you care what I'm going to explain. You can't just marry anyhow and we'll be happy with you too. You have to bring the woman, let us inspect. Now, there was something I was trying to say. I'm bringing an issue here. Now, that's what a human being, a friend, and one of my brethren, that's what they said. Now, imagine God himself. I am afraid. I tell my wife that once in a while, I said, listen, that is why when I have to make choices, I put those things in mind. Because what God is saying in effect is this. If I spent this volume of time pumping my word into you, are you bewitched so badly you can't understand that there must be a purpose for it? Are you not going to sacrifice that on the altar of temporary comfort or a human, you know, name, fame, stuff like that? Be careful. There's a reason why I put this thing there. Because I want you to do something with it. I'm going somewhere. For years, days, months, you've been filling your head with this word of God. It's sinking into your spirit. You think it's so that you can buy one other car and build a house? Let me tell you. God, I said it before, finding people for him is hard. Don't think it's easy. Don't think just wake up and say, okay, hey, Gabriel, find me 20 righteous men. They looked for 10 in Sodom and Gomorrah, they could not find. And when they said 10, I don't mean 10 holy firebrands, just people who don't believe in what is going on. If you read it, you see that Lot was not the most righteous by your own standard and mine. His daughters were not the most righteous by your standard and mine, but they were counted. God couldn't find 10. He couldn't find 10. You think God just get up? He said, a Christian should be governor. No, should be this. You'll see that God says, hey, wait, I'm okay with the unbeliever that's governor. He can't disgrace me. The only Christians I have found, they will disgrace me. What's the name of this boy on trial? Abdul Matalab. If he steals money, he's after his character. What did you expect? But when Pastor Banky is the governor, and he hear that 10 million naira is missing. Just 10 million naira at the governor level, governor's level. You see, then they start preaching. We have said that politics is dirty. You can see how it is. Messages will change all over churches in the country, scaring Christians away from politics. Why? Somebody just disgraced him. What am I saying? So when he's taking time out to load stuff into you, don't imagine that somebody else is going to do the job. You will build the universities. You, we own the airlines. Amen. You, we be the senators. Amen. You, we be the governors. Amen. I say you have to be the ones to be the president. Amen. It's not good. Look. Paul said, look at your calling. Not many were mighty. So forget that one. I'm sure, you know, if let's assume now that I'm preaching this message in a church that's in a VGC. Let's assume I'm meeting venue, Victoria Garden City. And then, you know, I guess some churches for Nigeria those days, like 3 bank MDs will be amongst the ushers. So when they preach that kind of message, people will think it makes sense. Yes, praise God. All right. This is a networking zone. If we need money, we'll talk to that senior chief usher. She'll give us a loan for 65 million naira. No problem. It makes sense. That's what Paul was saying. When he said, check your calling. Not many were noble. You know what he was saying? Forget that thing. It is not the church you go and how many MDs are there. Are you getting my point? That doesn't matter. Not many were well educated. Not many had PhDs. Not many had rich fathers. Not many were connected. But by the time I'm through with them, are you getting my point? And I put my spirit upon them, they will do things that people will say, was this man not a fisherman? And they say, okay, he has been with Jesus. Are you getting the point I'm making? Are you getting the point I'm making?
Yes,
I am persuaded about this. If I will continue doing what I am doing, a time will come. You know, I told you guys I'll do it one day. I will be somewhere just to prove a point. I'll just say, hey, you. I'll just say, Udechukwu, run. Go to my car. Go and bring this thing. And I'll tell the people, you know that guy? His company is worth $2.5 billion. I just want you to know I can tell him to run. I said, that's all. Then I'll come and say, no, forget it. He said, yes, sir. He will come back. I said, you see, I just want to show you I can tell him to run. Then I'll tell another person, take my phone. Call this person for me. All right? I said, the person I told to hold my phone, every month he signs wages of $60 million. I just want you to know I can tell him to hold my phone. Why am I saying so? I said, because it's not today I knew them. They've been holding my phone for the last 20 years. I have known them. Oh, I said, the only person that could bring them here at this time is me. And the person will look at me and say, Oga, you correct? I said, yes. I will tell you, look, take that phone. That so and so person. Say, who's that? So he's the president. Amen. Tell him I said you should greet him that I'm busy now, I can't talk to him. He said, check your calling. Not many were noble. You know what I'm emphasizing? The fact, you know, oh God. I want to talk about courage. The child to Joshua. When Jesus went to the garden, I have thought about it. For many years, I've not had any cause to change my mind. He went there. He prayed. You know the story. And then the Bible says that angels ministered to him. And when the angels finished ministering to him, he left. And he said, let us go. And the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured all these troubles. I thought about it. What did angels minister to him? Food? Physical food? No. This is my conviction. They minister to him visions and revelations. Because you go and look at Revelations, the book of Revelation, you see that the Bible said these were the things, the visions that God gave to Jesus, and he gave his angels, and he sent through them to John. Angels carry visions. They will come and say, Son of Man, what do you see? They begin to explain things to Son of Man. When they see, you know what I'm saying? This is what I'm coming to. This is what I'm persuaded about. That when the soul of Jesus was troubled and he went into the garden and began to pray, the Lord gave the angels visions and they came and ministered to him. And they said, Son of God, he said, yes. He said, sit down. We have a message from you from the Father. And they put on their projector and the screen was there. Are you getting my point? And they showed Steve how he was born small and how he died great. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. They picked another person. Showed how, Take somebody like Joyce Meyer. She will tell you the story of how she was sexually abused as a child. They will show all of that to him. And then they show him Joyce Meyer as a grandmother, fulfilled, telling stories, having been redeemed totally. Then they'll flip another story. After a while, he said, this is what I need to die for. He said, let's go to the cross. He said, let us go. Let us go. That was how angels strengthened him. Because the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. Because of the joy that was set before him. We have always thought, you know, as like I tell the poverty mentality people, that he saw himself sitting at the right hand of God. Ask yourself, where did he come from? From inside God. What's the big deal about sitting on his right hand? You don't understand what it means to sit on the right hand of God. It's a busy place. It's a place of assignment. The Bible says he ever lives to make intercession. He's not there sitting down crossing legs. Say, all right, give me the next leg of chicken. You know I'm the King of Kings. He's there. He's listen. He's forever the chief defender you have. You know what he said to Peter? He said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you all of you, like wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Now I'm giving the assignment to go and strengthen the brain. What am I going to say? That your faith has not failed today is because somebody up there on the right hand of God is still praying for you. He didn't go to the right hand to go and sit down and say, I don't suffer. It is not time to shop. I'm the King of Kings. Somebody help me, Baba. So you must understand that. There's nothing there to look forward to. Because that was where he came from. What was exciting him is what you are going to become. Are you getting my point? That is, you see this clan of people that were small, both in their own eyes and in reality. Then at the end of the days, you'll see what they have become. Ah! And they say it's not one. It's not two. The angels showed him again the revelations that this is the only way you can bring many sons to glory. Go and read Hebrews chapter 2. He said this is how you are going to be the author of their salvation. If you go through this, after now, there will be nothing like an incurable disease. He said, eh? If you go through this, people that were dead will be raised back to life routinely. Say, uh-huh. If you go through this, you know that curse of Noah that has been plaguing the descendants of Ham. He said, that curse is going to be lifted finally. So all these divisions of men, it will be an end to all these problems on the earth. He saw everything in the PowerPoint, you know what I'm saying? He saw the multimedia projection. When it was through, strength, vision gives you strength. It does. It does. It does. That was why Moses didn't just come to Joshua. Joshua, be strong. Be strong. It's good for a man to be strong. No. He said, be strong. You are going to help these people possess the land. So Joshua understood his weakness was not about him. He's like, if I am weak, 5 million people are dead. If I am weak, this labor for the last 40 years is in vain. If I am weak, the name of God will be despised. I tell you sometimes, if I want to disobey God, when I see my children, I change my mind. That if God annoys me, let's assume he annoyed me now. I pray for something, not give me. I seek, he let me die. I said, God, see, kill me. Please, just bless these ones. I won't do anything that will drop a curse upon them after I'm gone. You are getting what I'm saying? Listen, all the story we are telling about white man, black man, Africa. Listen, God has done what he's going to do. What is remaining is for you and I to do what we are supposed to do. so that that which he has done can be manifested as we are doing what we are supposed to do. That's what I'm talking about, boldness. We said you should read somewhere. Revelation 21, let me quickly read it because I've been talking since I've not read it. Let me just start from verse 6. And he said to me, it is done, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes shall inherit these things. And I will be his God and he will be my son. But for the cowardly, this is opposite of bold and strong and courageous. If you have the King James, it says, for the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Number one is for who? The fearful or the cowardly. Even though God knows that there's a reason why they are afraid, he said, I have given them enough resources to overcome that fear. You know why he put them in front of the unbelieving and abominable and murderers? Because this is what I believe. They are the most potent people when it comes to hindering the work of God on the earth, the fearful. When God commissions a man to do something so as to manifest his glory, and is afraid, is worse than 1 million enemies that are standing against God. If the man he sends is afraid, if the woman he commissions is afraid, that is worse than 1 million enemies. There's a little book I said I will write so people can read it. Delivered from the power of death. A lot of people who are chasing enemies around, they are the worst enemy that God knows. Do you get what I'm saying? They are the worst. And I think Christians need to be liberated from this attitude. My enemies, my enemies, my enemies. The worst thing when it comes, listen, he said they tempted God in the wilderness and limited the Holy One of Israel. The Moabites could not limit God. Jericho could not limit God. You are getting my point? The Red Sea could not limit God. Egypt could not limit God. The Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites, none of them could limit God. But the same people that he wanted to give the land, they tempted God in the wilderness because of their unbelief and fear. Fear. They were successful in limiting the Holy One of Israel. Are you getting my point? So you see, the Muslim can't stop the advancement of the gospel. Communism could not, its days are over, stop the advancement of the gospel. The only people that can stop it is the fearful amongst the people of God themselves. Do you get my point? And to overcome this fear, I will say, courage comes from vision. That's why I said I took time out to explain the things I was explaining. Because the time will come, you will have to make decisions that will look as if it doesn't go right, the labor of the last 15 years, 20 years is gone. Listen, don't ever forget this principle. Let's read the scripture. All right, so that I explain the principle again. 2 Samuel chapter 10. I've quoted this several times. What I want to say from that is that results is not with any man. It's not with any human being, not a woman, not a man. God does not judge people for not succeeding, but he judges them for not trying. Should I say that again? God does not judge people for not succeeding. What is angry about is that they didn't try. Because Paul planted, Apollos watered, neither Paul nor Apollos was responsible for the increase. It was God that gave the increase. So Paul said, neither he that planted nor he that waters amounts to anything. But without them planting or without them watering, God could never have given the increase. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are people that The only reason why they are afraid to marry is that their father used to beat their mother. And the young woman does not want any man to beat her. For those who have never experienced that, they say, what is wrong with her? I say, no. The fears are real. Are you getting my point? When Jesus said, let's go and pray, it was a real fear. So, what are you supposed to do? You go and pray like he did. And after you have prayed, you leave that. Because the deliverance that God wants to give you, the story he wants to change, if you don't do that wedding, if you don't get married, nobody will ever experience it. You were meant to experience it. You were meant to tell the story. The healing was supposed to start with you. Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, there's one thing Esther said, just that we of the world of faith, we don't know what faith is. We think faith is the ability to obojuly make up your mind. You know that my English has come again. Obojuly does not exist as an English word as it has at now. You can write it in your own dictionary later. You become a professor of English, internationally recognized. You create new words. Obojuly, a neologism created by Pastor Banky 16 years ago, describing, you write it in your own dictionary. But what I mean is that, say, just use both faith. Say, I'm not going to change my mind. We think that's what faith is. That faith means that as I'm about to enter into this fire, I begin to confess and speak to the fire. That fire, you shall not burn me. After all, I'm a child of God. I am above fire, I'm not beneath. Is that good? It is all right to make your soul feel happy. Brother Nebuchadnezzar, listen to me. I'm a child of God. You can threaten anything you want. I'm not going to die. We think that's what faith is. I've heard people tell me before that they maintain their confession. And we read, look, listen. Faith simply means is that I'm not going to bow even if I'm going to die. Are you getting my point? That's all. Faith is that I am so committed to this God that even if he kills me, I won't change my mind. That is real faith. That is the depth of faith. That is faith. That is what real faith is. We think faith means that I am absolutely certain of the outcome. Sometimes what God wants is to prove that I know he will try. I want all of you to know this guy is going to try. And he will try, he will fail, but he has passed. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. Because the test was about whether he will try or not. It's not whether he will succeed. You are getting the point I'm making. Listen, in life, what God is judging you by is not how well you outwardly succeeded. That's what I'm saying. It's how well you adhere to the things he taught. So if he says try, and you tried, and it didn't work, in quotes, fine, you still succeeded. Jeremiah preached and preached and preached. Go and read the book of Jeremiah. In fact, during the night, in the last few days, I've been studying it. Jeremiah preached, preached, nobody believed him. Go and read Isaiah 49. Isaiah preached, preached, even he was frustrated. So Jeremiah said, I'm not preaching again. I'm not preaching again. Then during the night, in boom, begin pain. He started having bad dreams. He would try to keep quiet. His teeth would just... He said, when I said I will not talk, the word became like fire. Shot up in my bones. I couldn't keep quiet. So I began to talk again. Nobody believed. One day people gathered and said, okay, everything you said has come to pass. At last. Eh? Okay, ask the Lord for us what next we should do. He said, before I said, go out to the king of Babylon. Now, this is the word of the Lord. You will constitute the remnant that's going to stay behind in Judah. Don't go anywhere. As soon as he finished, they said, don't mind him. Wicked prophet. They have bribed him. We know these people came behind and threatened that he wants us to die finally. He said, listen, where you are going, Egypt. This is what's going to happen in Egypt. Trouble will come. This will be the same Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians you are running from.
He's coming to attack Egypt. You know, when the Babylonians got to Egypt, the first people they killed were the Jews that came there. They did not believe. What is Bro going to do now? Stop preaching? No. If you want to use results to judge your ministry, you're in trouble. How many people have been saved? How many souls are you going to take to heaven when you are going? I'm taking only one, mine. My wife takes another flight. I can't take any. My job is not to save souls, it's to talk to them. Conversion of the souls is the work of the Holy Spirit. And even He does not force anybody to repent. 2 Samuel chapter 10. I will soon close. There was war. And Joab, in verse 9, saw that the battle was set against him in front and in the rear. He selected from all the choice men of Israel and arrayed them against the Arameans or the Syrians. But the remainder of the people he placed in the hand of Abishai, his brother, 2 Samuel chapter 10, I'm in verse 9 now. And he arrayed them, I'm in verse 10 now. And he arrayed them against the sons of Ammon. And he said, if the Arameans are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the sons of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will come to help you. Now, please, this is the commandment of the Lord today. Verse 12. Be strong. And let us show ourselves courageous for the sake of our people and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in His sight. Let us make the investments and do the businesses. Let us walk out of our comfort zones and begin to do things that are dangerous. You know what I'm saying? In quote. Because we must be strong. We must be courageous. Let us help one another. Let us learn the principles. Let's do everything. Listen, I said to us last time, once we do the right thing, a spirit is generated, and that spirit can never die. Did you hear what I said? If you use the right spirit to do the wrong things, that spirit still will not die. That is out of error. That is after ignorance, you committed errors. But because it was moved by the right spirit, physically you can lose things, but that spirit can never die. Having done all that is right, listen, let God do that which is pleasing in His sight. Are you getting my point? Who raised Jesus from the dead? Did Jesus raise Himself from the dead? No, He did not. God raised Him from the dead. He was dead. Are you getting what I'm saying? All He could do was go to the cross. He left the raising from the dead to the Father. I don't know whether you're getting my point. He was not there to shout, Jesus, rise up on the third day. See, He was there to shout for Lazarus. You are getting what I'm saying? Listen, that is the attitude with which you do ministry. When I say ministry, not just preaching ministry now, but every form of ministry in the world. I try my best with what I understand to raise my children. My wife works very hard on them. But I found out long ago, there's nothing you can do about making a child turn out right. Hey, believe me. You are going to pray, fast, lay hands, teach, explain, use the rod, do everything. When you have done that, let the Lord do that which is pleasing in His sight. You can't force yourself to prosper. There's no boju in it. There will be times you will lose money. You will do business, and in some of them, you will lose money. Say, Pastor Bama, you're prophesying bad. It's better to warn you ahead of time so you won't be discouraged. And it's not prophesying bad. It's just explaining what happens. The righteous man falls how many times? Seven times. He loses money seven times. And the Lord will still raise him up. You know what I'm going to emphasize to us today? That you have to do what you are supposed to do. It is not because it's comfortable. It is not because this job is better than the other job. There are jobs that are not as good, but you just know this is the job that takes me to where I'm going. Your friend will say, my father has really, really hoped that I will be the one to train my younger ones. This is just the opportunity to do what my father always wanted me to do. Let me tell you ahead of time. Except a man hates his father and his mother, his brothers and his sisters, he cannot be my disciple. A friend of mine came to me once. I told this story. He wanted to move to a foreign country. He's also a doctor, but he graduated long after me. You know my attitude. I don't believe prosperity is anywhere. I believe that if you follow God, he will bless you. Then that day he came to see me. So he said, oh, he's going to be traveling shortly. And I said, boy, how far? Why are you doing this? He now said something to me that made me feel like a wicked soul. He said, look, you know, you are lucky because we are age mates. The same age. Exactly the same age. Just a few weeks apart. You understand? But by the time I was graduating from school, by the time I was finishing house job, I was already a registrar. For those of you who know medicine. All right, so I was like 5 years ahead of him in the profession. That's because, like I said, he did a first degree. And I used direct entry to go and study medicine. All right, so I was quite ahead of him. He said, you know, you started early, so things are easier for you. He explained to me, he said, you know, my younger sister has a hole in the heart. I said, I never knew. He said, she does. And that now, because I now understand the details, all right, as a pathologist, I know the type she had and why she could survive it for so long without me knowing, but the complications will arise later. He said, you know, she has to have heart surgery. He said, somebody has to come up with the money. Ah! He explained the pressures that he has to face. As he was talking, I was feeling like a thorough, listen, please, don't be angry with me. I was feeling like a fool. Now, all this faith you have been declaring, you have not even thought about other people. Are you getting my point? This guy, by the time he finished explaining, when he left that day, I laid down. And suddenly the scripture came to my heart. Except a man hates his father, his mother, his brothers, his sisters, his entire family, he said he cannot be my disciple. I suddenly realized that I wasn't being selfish. I had understood the word of God. And God in heaven loves all these people more than I do. And if he says, don't go anywhere to go and look for money to take care of them, you are better because it's the best for you and for them. I pray you understand. My father knows that, you know, he's just to train how many people? 3. God said, I ordained you to train 5,000. Listen, 5,000. And if you don't do what I am saying, you will train those 3 people and that's all you will ever train. Your own children, you will not train them. You won't have the money. The person who will obey me will come and train your children for you. Listen, a lot of people, one day somebody was telling me that one guy, why he does 419, he helps his brother, his sister, his father, his wife. If his father understands the gospel, he should understand that that's the last help they will ever see in their lives, all of them. He had better kick the boy out with his stolen money and let him die in poverty as a seed for the other people coming after. And chop some rotten stolen money and be calling a thief generous. No. No, you can't do that. What I'm saying is that there are times you will make decisions. It is not because you don't love people around. It's not even what the love of God means. It has many meanings. It means I love all of you, and I love more than all of you. I don't know what I get when I explain. Yeah, I can love 10 people around me. But to love God means to love a million. I may love a million people around me. To love God means to love a billion. Do you get my point? So if I focus my love on God, it will be expressed by his blessing that will reach a billion, not just the 20 I wanted to reach. Are you getting the point I'm making? These are the things that give you courage. That's what I'm explaining. Because as you are going in life, times will come. And what I've emphasized, let me just close. What I've emphasized today is that we are going to do what is right because we have the right vision. Now, I'm not saying Christians act foolishly. Of course, this is just one and every other has spoken today. But I'm talking about, you know, I said before that if something is foolish to you, it is foolish. The foolishness of faith is to those who are observing. But no matter how convinced you are, what happens is life begins to tell you, what if you fail? I don't know whether I get my point. The company you have built for 20 years, this job, at least they're already promoting you. Just to illustrate. No, there are things, I tell that you can't argue with people sometimes because you don't realize where they are looking at things from. My wife used to work in UBA. A job that many people will die for. It's a good job. I'm not saying it's a bad job. Then one day she got up because we have spoken. Listen, it wasn't a decision last moment. Did you hear? Pastor Banky says, why I'm left UBA? You too. We are going to leave UBA today. Look, listen. Before I met my wife, I said, my wife can have only one boss in life, and that is me. Whoever wife I will marry. I can't be talking to you, and you say, my boss said, nah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. I just can't stand it. You can't leave the house before I do every day. What are you doing? And come back after I have slept. Because of what? Maybe it's okay with some people, though. But this guy ain't okay with me. When we came to Enugu, I told my wife, well, if you want to work, look for a work that is flexible. Come and do postgraduate, come to campus. You know, everybody loves me here now. They don't want me to go. If I give it as a condition to state that they should employ you, they will employ you. I said, I love the job of being a university lecturer because the timing is very flexible. She said, you know, I don't know how to teach. You like to teach. I said, okay. So, after a while, she got up and left the job she was doing. Now, this is the point I'm making. A lot of people looked and said, eh? Who? How can? But you know the interesting part? It didn't cross my mind. She didn't think it was a great thing. Some people say a great sacrifice. It didn't cross her mind that it was a great sacrifice. Neither did I think so. Neither she nor me thinks it's a great sacrifice. But I said something to her then. In fact, I've been saying in the recent years, and it will come to pass shortly. In fact, I have a feeling. You know, I have a feeling. Something is about to happen. Are you getting what I'm saying? I said one day, the same place where you walked out from, people will call you and say, madam, please now, just 15 million. I said, okay, take. Because my cash balance has to be complete. I said, the same people that say, one day they will call you and you say, oh God, all I have left is 50 million that I can spare. I just gave this boy 100. You should have spoken last week. Say, madam, you gave only that guy 100. Okay, I give you 50. I want it back in 2 months. Say, yes, ma'am. At least that one is okay. That one is okay. That one is okay. I said, the same people that said, one day you will phone one and say, I'm in my house. Please, you and your two deputies, come now. Because my flight is taking off in the next 2 hours. And if you guys don't show up now, I will call the other people. And this business, this man, will they come? Will they come? Will they come? They will disband the meeting. Say they won't come see you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, it will happen. No? In fact, if it was not planning to happen, I have said it so much, God will just make it happen for 2 weeks. So as to confirm the word of his servant. Are you getting my point? I use that to illustrate the fact that sometimes you will walk out of things, but you have only walked into a door taking you to higher things. Let me end my message. Let me just prophesy so we go. Though your beginning be small, your latter end shall greatly increase. Listen, don't compromise all the things that God has been teaching you with his word all these years. Because one day, there's what the Bible calls the time. You know, I was studying Jeremiah the other day. Was it yesterday night? And the day before that. And I'll say that God will say, Now this will go on until the time of their judgment. I see the time of their judgment. That I saw that I underlined it here and there. Which means that you may see things going on smoothly or badly. It's just waiting for the time that God has appointed. Judgment has two sides. When he's bringing one down, it's because he's about to lift one up. And I declare to you again, your time of judgment will come.
Amen.
For you, judgment is being raised up.
Amen.
My name, Daniel, that's what it means. I wasn't born and named Daniel. I grew up and gave myself the name Daniel. Go and read my tract, Daniel. Daniel means God my judge. He can put other people down, but he's lifting me up. And I declare to you also, you will be lifted up.
Amen.
There's something I like to say all the time. You will not die young.
Amen.
Because, listen, what is keeping you alive? It is not that I want to stay alive. No! There's a word that has to be manifested. Are you getting what I'm saying? He prophesied a word to a man called Simeon. Simeon was tired of living. He could not die. Go and read your Bible. The moment he saw Jesus Christ, he said, "Sure, I can die now." What does that tell you? His bosom friend died. He did not die. His younger brother died. He didn't die. All the younger ones died. He did not die. Two sons died. He did not die. He had no friends again. But God said, "I told you, you are not going anywhere until your eyes see my salvation." So one day he was coming to the temple, they hear, suddenly it clicked, an angel said, "That's him." He said, "Now thy servant can depart in peace." That is, you have kept me in this turmoil all these years. But I'm saying, what is keeping you alive? It's not your love for life. It is that there is a word that must be manifested.
Amen.
This word you have been drinking will manifest in your life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And watch Matrix. They will shoot you. The bullet will pass. It will come out. And you keep living. And you just keep walking. They will sack you. You won't notice. Because you can't die. Why? Because there is something that is keeping you alive. He said, "Man shall not remain alive by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." It has proceeded, you have eaten it. Are you getting my point? For that reason, you will be sustained.
Amen.
Listen, if you lose money, it won't do you anything.
Amen.
No matter what you lose in this life, it will not do anything to you.
Amen.
The reason is because what is keeping you alive is something inside so strong, stronger than all the things that you can ever lose. And you will not depart until your eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
One day, somebody here will actually invite me and say, "Pastor, come. Come. Look at this. We have just entered into this business. There are 20 trucks just supplied to us. Lay your hands on them. Command them to go and prosper." And I'll tell the person, "You, command them to prosper and let me say amen." Are you getting my point? I'll tell you, "Look, God has given you the word. I can't be coming every day to profess over your trucks." I say, "Use, because every day you will command them where to go. You will command them how to behave. Say, now, do it. Let me stand with you. I will hold one hand. As you are talking, I will be shouting amen." Somebody I'm looking at today. Eh? Are you getting my point? Somebody I'm looking at today, it will happen in that person's life.
Amen.
I can only give a few examples. But there are great and terrible things that you will experience in this your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. My message today has been, no matter what it appears like, just know you won't die. You won't fail. Death is not just physical death. There's financial death. There's marital death. There's collapse in different areas of life. But for you, the power of life will keep you alive in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I hope you've gotten my point.